So in the previous shloka, we saw that you have a right over action. Karmani eva adhikaraha te. Whatever action you want to do, you have a right over the action, but do not have the right over the result of the action. Ma paleshu kadachana. That's what Krishna said. And according to the Shastras, the results of actions can be divided into two types of results. One is called drishtapalam, that can be seen by us, that is comprehensible to us, based on our action itself. Whatever action we do, there is a drishtapalam based on our action. And that is another palam called adrishtapalam, that is the unseen result, which is based not just on the action, but based on the motive of the action. So one is based on the action itself, that is drishtapalam, the one that can be seen. And the other one is the adrishtapalam, that is the unseen palam, unseen result, based only on the motive of the action. For example, if you do charity, for example, there is a beggar on the road, you want to give him some couple of dollars. So you gave some money to him. Now there is a drishtapalam. What is the drishtapalam? Money is given to him, the person could buy one square meal for that evening, whatever it is. So there is a palam immediately available. That guy is happy, you are also happy that you could help somebody take some food. That is drishtapalam. But based on the motive of the palam, you wanted to help this person only for the sake of helping. You don't expect anything back on that charity. You just gave it for the sake of. Then in that process, what you have got, in addition to the drishtapalam, you also got, because of your motive, you also got punyam. And that is the adrishtapalam. So punyam coming out of the selfishness or the attitude with which you are giving the money, that charity, that attitude, that gives you punyam also. Okay. So on the other hand, because of the noble motive of helping, this subtle phala, that is the subtle result, which gives punyam, that is the unseen result. So this adrishta phalam can later give either sukham or dukkham, pleasure or pain. This adrishta phalam can give, which could be drishta phalam. So when you get the sukham or dukkham, that becomes drishta phalam, but that is caused by what? This adrishta phalam, namely this punya that you got. So if we can control our motives, whatever motive we want to do an action, if we can control this motive, it is possible to control the adrishtapalam. You cannot control the drishtapalam. That will immediately come. But the adrishtapalam can be controlled based on your own motive with which you do an action. Therefore, we can see that as far as drishtapalam is concerned, we have no control whatsoever. You do an action, the drishtapalam, you have no control. But as far as the adrishtapalam is concerned, you have some control on that. So long as your motive is the correct motive. And what is that? If the motive of the action is that I should enjoy worldly benefits. I am doing this dharma for this particular place or whatever it is. I am feeding 100 poor people because I want to enjoy some sukha. By doing that, I want to get punya. So if you want to do that, then that becomes a sakama karma. A karma, an action, expecting some result for me. And selfish motive, it is called the sakama karma. Then the adrishta palam for that is going to be punyam or papam. So if you do an action as a sakama karma, then the adrishta palam for that can be either punyam or papam. That could be there. Whereas if the motive is nishkama karma, I have no expectation whatsoever. I just give it. This is my duty to give. I want to give. So if I do it as the nishkama karma, then the very same karma, whatever karma I did, the same charity gives me what? Not punya or papa, it gives me chitta shuddhi. It gives me chitta shuddhi or purity of mind. Because only when the mind is pure, you can pursue jnana yoga. If you want to go to moksha, first requirement is mind should be pure. So if you want to do it as a sakama karma, you get punya or papa, that's fine. But if you do it as a nishkama karma, then if it is a good karma, you get chitta shuddhi. So we have got now two adrishtapalam. One is punyam, that is adrishtapalam. Number two is chitta shuddhi. Both are available. We can choose whatever we want. If you want to do it as a sakama karma, adrishtapalam, punyam, no problem. But if you want to do it as a nishkama karma, then you get chitta shuddhi. So as far as adrishtapalam is concerned, we have no choice whatsoever. Tapalam, whatever is the result, it will come. You cannot control that at all. So for Sakama Karma, the Adrishta Palam is Punyam, and for Nishkama Karma, the Adrishta Palam is Chitta Shuddhi. Purity of mind. Now, how to indicate the difference? Whether it is Sakama Karma or Nishkama Karma, how do you indicate that? How do you differentiate that? The Sankalpa. What is the Sankalpa you are doing when you go to do a puja? What is the Sankalpa you are doing? I am doing this karma for just doing it. I am doing the karma for Parameshwara Prityartham, to please the Lord. I am doing this. Nishkama Karma. But if I am doing the same karma, for what? For all my Kshema, Sthairya, Virya, Vijaya, Ayuha, Ananda, Arogya, Aishwarya. So I put a big list. Then that is a Sakama Karma. So based on the Sankalpa with which you do this karma, that determines whether it is a Sakama Karma or Nishkama Karma, and the Adrishtapalam is going to be either Punyam or Chitta Shuddhi. So that can be easily controlled. And this is not determined by any other people. Determined by whom? Only by me. So I decide. I should not say somebody did some good action, I got Punyam. Or I do good action, she got Punyam. No. All the actions I do, that results in whatever benefit I get, whether it is Punyam or Chitta Shuddhi. So if a person wants Chitta Shuddhi, that person has to do this very same karma with a sankalpa of not having Punyam or Papam. Actually, this Manasarovar, this Kailash Yatra, people undertake this Kailash Yatra. They go to Manasarovar, then they do Pradakshina Parikrama of the Kailash Parvat. And if you go to that place, there is this Manasarovar lake. And if you take a bath in Manasarovar lake, what happens? All your sins are washed away. That is a belief. Right? All sins are gone. And there is another lake called Rakshas Lake. Rakshas there. If you go there, all your punya will go away. So what people will do? They won't even touch near that ground. If the car has to go there, they will divert it away so that you won't, by mistake, because all punyas will be washed away. But if you have to get moksha, what should be done? Both punya and papa, you should be divided up both. Because if you get punya, you got to enjoy it. To enjoy punya, you have to take another birth. Another body is needed. So you don't want to wash away your punya. But people have the problem. They want moksha. But what is the guarantee that I will get moksha? If the punya is washed away now, papa is gone, okay, Manasarovar Lake took care of the papa. Punya is also washed away. What is the guarantee I will get moksha? The doubt comes. So he doesn't want to lose the papa at all. No problem. I'll do any punyam. So they won't even go near that. But punyam and papam should not be there. Because if punyam, nature is very fair. Nature is extremely fair. If a person has done punya karma, if he claims the punyam, he will enjoy the results of that punyam. He will get whatever sukham based on that. He will enjoy that. But he has to take another body. If it is not done in this janma, everybody wants to enjoy in this janma. But it doesn't happen all the time. You may work very hard, but you may not get the result in this janma at all. These are common things we see. You work very hard at your work. Some other guy gets the promotion. You don't get it. You always think, you know, this guy is no good guy, but still he is getting the promotion. Some favoritism is there. He has done some good karma sometime. And that is now fetching the result for him now. We don't know. So whatever good karma you did, it may come. May not be today. Sometime it will come. So if you claim punyam, then you have to enjoy the benefit of the punyam. So you may have to get another birth perhaps. But if you do it as a nishkama karma, you get chitta shuddhi. Chitta shuddhi means purity of mind you get. So one step closer to going to moksha. You must remember, even if you go to Swargaloka, you can go to Vaikuntha, Kailasha, Brahmaloka, anywhere you can go. But it is still what? Shine punye, Martyalokam Vishanti. After the punya is exhausted, you have to again come back to human birth only. You have to come back again to this world. You can go to any place, doesn't matter. Brahmaloka, Satyaloka, supposed to be the longest, where you can enjoy all things. There is no dukkham at all in that place. And for a very long time. But that long time also is still the finite time. Once this is exhausted, come back. But in Satyaloka, there is one advantage. Brahmaji himself is there, so he is supposed to be the abode of all knowledge. So you can get jnanam from him directly by his coaching or education. That's possible. But even if you go to any of these higher lokas, still once the punyam is exhausted, you have to come back to this life. So no one can choose both punyam and chitta shuddhi. That is how the nature of karma is. You can never choose both the punyam and chitta shuddhi. Punyam one, punyam you will get. Chitta shuddhi means chitta shuddhi you will get. You cannot say, okay, let me get some punyam. 90% punyam, 10% chitta shuddhi, or 50% punyam. No, it doesn't work. The moment you decide your sankalpam is to get punyam, you will get punyam. You cannot get chitta shuddhi on that thing. So only any one of them can be got. So you have to give up your desire for punyam if you want to get Chitta Shuddhi. Desire for punyam has to be given away. So that is called Sangatyagaha. Sangatyagaha means karma pala sangatyagaha. Whatever is the benefit or the result of your karma, you should be able to renounce that result, namely punyam, and develop a desire for what? Chitta Shuddhi or purity of mind, and then to moksha. Only when you get purity of mind, you can pursue moksha. This is called Sangatyagaha, and it is for Chitta Shuddhi, Nishkama Karma. It should be a Nishkama Karma. So we can look at karma, karma yoga, from two angles. One is what? One from the drishta plane, the visible plane, and the other one, the adrishta plane, the unseen plane. You can see both of them. And Krishna says, Ma karma pala hetuhu bhuhu. Do not ask for punyam, but ask for chitta shuddhi. Ask for chitta shuddhi. A karma yogi, ask for chitta yogi, this chitta shuddhi. And he is going to clarify this in the next shloka. Yogastha kuru karmani.
Yogastha kuru karmani. Yogastha kuru karmani.
Sangam tyaktva dhananjaya.
Sangam tyaktva dhananjaya. Sangam tyaktva dhananjaya.
Yogastha kuru karmani. Sangam tyaktva dhananjaya.
Yogastha kuru karmani. Sangam tyaktva dhananjaya. Yogastha kuru karmani. Sangam tyaktva dhananjaya.
Siddhya siddhyo samo bhutva.
Siddhya siddhyo samo bhutva. Siddhya siddhyo samo bhutva.
Samatvam yoga uchyate.
Samatvam yoga uchyate. Samatvam yoga uchyate.
Siddhya siddhyo samo bhutva. Samatvam yoga uchyate.
Siddhya siddhyo samo bhutva. Samatvam yoga uchyate. Siddhya siddhyo samo bhutva. Samatvam yoga uchyate.
Therefore Arjuna, Krishna says, karmani kuru. Karmani kuru, you cannot avoid action. Be engaged in action, do action. You cannot just sit quiet. You have to engage in action. Not only that, you cannot get chitta shuddhi without karma. If you want to get purity of mind, what you need to do? You have to do action. You cannot just be quiet. Oh, by doing action I may get punya papam. No, let me not do anything. Doesn't work. If you want to have chitta shuddhi, purity of mind, you have to engage in action. Because normally people think, by doing action I get so many problems. Why do at all action? It may be quiet, no problem at all. No. Krishna says, you should not. And why should we do karma? Further Krishna says, he is giving a technique here. He is giving a technique. What is the technique? Yogastha kuru. Yogastha kuru. Karma is a problem only when it is done without an attitude of yoga. Action, doing any action is a problem only when it is done without the attitude of yoga. When it is done with the attitude of yoga, then there is no problem at all from any action. Whatever may be the action, there is no problem at all. That is, convert all your karmas into what? Into karma yoga. Convert all your karmas, whatever actions you do, convert those actions into karma yoga. And how do you convert this? You cannot just say, okay, let me take another software to convert this. It doesn't work. So you have to convert it from some other angle. So how do you convert this to karma, to karma yoga? That's the question. Before doing any action, what we should do? Sit for 5 minutes. Before engaging in any action, sit for a couple of minutes, tell the mind. What should you tell? I have thought about all problems that might arise by doing this karma. All of them. And what should be done? Now I know. What are the things to be done? I now know. Having taken care of that, now I am launching this action. I am going to do now this action. I have only the choice for doing the action. And I know very well I have no control on the result of this action. I can do whatever I want to do after having thought through it very clearly, analytically, studying every parameters, no problem. All that I can do and do the action. Once the action done, let me tell my mind, you have no control on what the result of that action is going to be. That's what. So I have no control, and then what? Not only that I have no control, I should train my mind to accept whatever is the result of that action. That is most difficult. I should be able to train my mind, whatever may be the result of this action, I should be willing to accept it. That should be the question of acceptance. And that in the last class I told, Swikaraha. One is you have no control, so Swikaraha. So we know a lot of people, you know, who were very, very rich, they might have come poor. People who were poor, they became rich. The benefit of that action, they had no control. They planned all very well, but still it might not be in their control at all. It's not in their control. So the glory of the world is that actually. What is the glory of the world? What is anityam? Everything is anityam. Everything is impermanent. Nothing. That is the glory of the world. After seeing the result, I will make my plan intelligently when I do the next action. For this action, I planned. I got some result about which I have no control. Now I see the result. Then when I do the next action, I can use this result to plan a little more diligently. I can do that. That is in my control, but not the result itself. So conversion is what? Being prepared to accept the drishtapalam. Whatever is the drishtapalam, the visible result of doing an action, the prepared mind to accept that result, that is called conversion. Conversion from karmi to karma yogi. Karma to karma yoga. So it's like going to India, for example. You know, whenever you go to India, normally when you go first time, few times, you know, you take all the injections, that anti-malarial, anti-this, anti-that, all that you take and you can go, no problem. In spite of it, you may get malaria. That's a different thing. You don't know. But you want to take care of all these things, that preparedness, no problem. Right? Because it's all in your control now. But once you go there, there is no control at all. If you get malaria, you got it. That's it. You treat it afterwards. So this is what, you cannot change the situation there. You can anticipate everything here. You cannot change it. So in the field of karma also, in the same way, take the injection of yoga. Here, take the injection of yoga in the mind. Mind should be prepared. You can take that thing. And the bigger the project you take, and what is the thing? Stronger the injection should be too. Preparation should be very strong, planning should be strong, effort should be strong, stronger the project. So you have to do all that thing. So these are all in your control. So conversion of karma to karma yoga. Karma to yoga, that is by giving the auto suggestion. I have to suggest to my mind, it's auto suggestion that I am ready to receive any result. Whatever may be the result, I will receive it. And I should receive it how? Not with the result, no. I should receive it very cheerfully. Why? It is prasadam from the Lord. I am offering it to the Lord, this action. Whatever comes out of it is a prasadam from the Lord. Let me receive it cheerfully. And I should mean that. I should not say it as a lip service. I should mean that. I should receive it cheerfully. This is with respect to any drishtapalam. With respect to any drishtapalam that you can see. With respect to adrishtapalam, the unseen result, I say, I am not interested in any punyam. Naturally, papam also. I am not interested in swargam. I don't want to go to that Kailasa, Vaikuntha, any of those places. What I should do? I don't want any appreciation from people. They don't have to put me on a stage and put all the garlands and put my photo everywhere, make a plaque. No. I am not interested in any of them. I am doing it as a sense of duty. It is my duty to do it to the society. It is my duty to do it to my fellow citizens. It's just a sense of duty without expecting anything. I want my mind only to become clearer. That's all I want. Chitta Shuddhi alone is my motive, not any of the external things, recognitions and all those things. So that is why whenever you do sankalpa, I want only durita kshayam or papa kshayam. That's all. Mama upata samasta durita kshayadvara. That's how we do sankalpa. So what? Mama upata samasta durita kshayam. Upata means earned. Whatever I have earned, all these papas. Durita means all these papas. I have earned all of them. Because I did all the actions, I earned all of them. So duritam, all the sins, ragadveshas, all of them. Kama, krodha, lobha, moha, masamata, matsaryadi. All those things I have earned. So Krishna says, sangam tektva. Sangam tektva, Arjuna, give up your concern for drishtapalam completely. And punyam, which is adrishtapalam. Give up all those things. Sangam. Sangam means literally actually attachment here. Sangam means attachment to any of them. And how do we know whether we practiced karma or karma yoga? Because that is another question. I don't know. I've been doing, but I don't know whether it is karma or karma yoga. I may ask the question. How do you find that? When everything is going good, you can never find that. When the failure comes, how do you react to that? then only you will be able to find whether you did it with an attitude of karma or karma yoga. So when failure comes. So if you have done only karma yoga, that is karma with a proper attitude, then when negative results come, when the result which I didn't expect comes, when it is not pleasant result, when that comes, my mind will not be fluttering. Because any result I will take, karma yogi, it will not be fluttering. No ripple or reactions. Mind won't react at all because the mind is prepared mind. The mind has been already prepared to receive any result. So negative, positive result doesn't. So if the positive result comes, the guy doesn't jump up. When the negative result comes, he doesn't despair. That person is there. So Krishna says, Siddhya Siddhyoho Samo Bhutva. By way of karma yoga, may you be equanimous. Samo Bhutva. Samaha. Equanimous. May you be equanimous. Poised. May you be tranquil. Non-reacting. May you be non-reacting. So all those things they are suggested there. So Siddhi Asiddhyoho. Success. Siddhi means success. And Asiddhi is failure. So Siddhi and Asiddhi. Failure. Accomplishments and non-accomplishments. When those things come, the more I am elated in success. When success comes, I am very happy. The more I am elated in success, the more I will be depressed in failure. The more I jump up, when success comes, when a failure comes, I am going to be more depressed. Also, a man of elation will certainly go through depression. Because he is a very emotionally driven guy. He is going to be like that. So the sign of Karma Yoga is balance in success and failure. That who will find out? Only you can find out. In success, in failure, the balance. Ekonima, samo bhutva. Siddhya siddhyoho samo bhutva. Therefore, siddhya siddhyo samo bhutva, one should retain the balance in success and failure. We should remember here, he cannot get samatvam after success or failure. When success or failure comes, after that he cannot get samatvam. He should have the attitude of samatvam before the result comes. Once the result comes, success comes, if he says, okay, let me have samatvam attitude at that time, it doesn't work. At that time he will be elated only because he is not prepared yet. Mind has to be prepared before that. Actually, many people, they do this thing that after the difficulties come, okay, let me have samatvam. Doesn't work. But if one has to have samatvam, the preparation must have been done at the time of action itself. When I do the action, at that time itself, that attitude should be there. Auto-suggestion should be done, given to the mind. Mind should be prepared. We can never use any technique for peace of mind when there is problem in life. Very difficult. When there is a problem in life, at that time, what is your first interest? Is to solve that problem. At that time, you cannot tell them, okay, I am very calm. No, it doesn't help. Problem is there. In front, you have to solve it. So that is important here. I cannot say, okay, I am samatvam, sit quiet, tranquil. Doesn't work. Should not. So at that time, they have, normally what people do when difficulties come, they go to some Swamiji here or there, get some vibhuti, put it on your head, problem will be solved. Don't. How to solve? You have to solve it. You cannot say, I will get a solution by doing this and that. Doesn't work. So, if one wants solution for tragedy, you should not be at the time of tragedy. You should prepare for that. Actually, Swami Dayananda, so he gives a beautiful example here. As long as it has the poison fang, a snake, as long as it is having that, you cannot touch it, go near it. The moment it is removed, you can even put it on your shoulder, no problem. Around the neck, it can do nothing for you. And the poison fang is removed. Karma is same. When you put the same punya papam or all the actions of these results, they are like fangs. The poison fangs. The moment you attach to them, very difficult to escape. That's what he says. So samatvam yoga uchyate. This equanimity, this poise alone is called yoga. This equanimity of attitude, whether it is sukham or dukkham, the equanimity, this poised attitude, that the tranquil attitude, that is called yoga. Samatvam, yoga, uchyate. That samatvam is called yoga. So what is the difference between a karmi and a karma yogi? Karmi is tensed before. Before doing any action, he is very tensed. During the action, he is tensed. When the action is being done, he is, and after the action also, he is tensed. He is tensed all the time. In all three domains of time, he is tensed. He is always anxious. He is a karmi. A person who is an action-oriented person, he is always tense. So life is from reaction to... Why? Why he is tense? Reaction. So always from reaction to reaction to reaction to reaction for every action. That is what a karmi does. Only the type of reaction is different. Before it was what? It was anxiety. What will come? We don't know. So it was anxiety at that time. And after the reaction, after the advent, what is that? It is depression. That is all the reaction. Both are reactions only. Before that, he doesn't know what is coming, so anxious. During the time, he is always agitated, tense, all that thing. Yes, he is doing in whatever method he is doing, always agitated. And after that, depression. Because the result he expected didn't come, he is always. So always reaction, one reaction to another reaction. That's what he is doing. This is the life of a karmi. A person who is just only an action-oriented person, that is all the life of a karmi. Unfortunately, he might succeed in between. In some actions, he might succeed. So he will be very elated. No problem. I am very, very happy. No problem at all. So he might got a lot of wealth and all these things. But mind still continues to be anxious. Mind still, he might have got a lot of wealth. But still mind is anxious. Mind is still tense. Because once a lot of wealth comes, again the problem. Because yoga, shame, I told. Like whatever you got, you have to protect it. So which investment is good? So whether that is better, this gives 10%, 5%, 2%, 1.5%. Again, all mind goes through the same thing back and forth again. That doesn't mean you should not plan all this. You should. But plan it with this attitude. That is all Krishna says. You always have to, because it is your life. You have to orient your life. You have to earn a good living. You have to make a comfortable life. That's all our own choices. But if things didn't work the way you expected that to work, for that don't condemn yourself. Do not despair. Develop that attitude because the result is not in your hand. That's what Krishna says. Whereas the glory of a karma yogi is what? This is for a karmi. For a karma yogi is what? Before action also he was calm. During the action also he was calm. After the action also he is calm. That is the life of a karma yogi. So between a karmi and karma yogi, because karma yogi didn't have a reaction. Whatever comes, he accepted it. He didn't react to it. That's the thing. So samatvam is the strength and inner strength and the equanimity to accept any result before, during and after the action. That is the glory of a karma yogi compared to a karma karmi. Dure nahyavaram karma.
Dure nahyavaram karma. Dure nahyavaram karma.
Buddhi yoga dhananjaya.
Buddhi yoga dhananjaya. Buddhi yoga dhananjaya.
Dure nahyavaram karma. Buddhi yoga dhananjaya.
Dure nahyavaram karma. Buddhi yoga dhananjaya. Dure nahyavaram karma. Buddhi yoga dhananjaya.
Buddhau sharanam anvichcha.
Buddhau sharanam anvichcha. Buddhau sharanam anvichcha.
Upana phala hetavaha.
Upana phala hetavaha. Upana phala hetavaha.
Buddhau sharanam anvichcha. Kripana phala hetavaha.
Buddhau sharanam anvichcha. Kripana phala hetavaha. Buddhau sharanam anvichcha. Kripana phala hetavaha.
So Krishna is still continuing to talk about karma yoga. We already saw karma yoga is not any special action to be performed, but it is the performance of any action with the right attitude. That's what we already defined. Karma yoga is not any special action. So the main part that is played in the karma yoga is by what? Is by your buddhi. Buddhi is called inner equipment or antakaranam in Vedanta. Antakaranam, manas and buddhi are called inner equipments. All others are external equipments. You can see your eye, your hand, your ear, all those things. But mind and buddhi you cannot see. So they are called inner equipments, antakaranam. So here in the karma yoga, it is not the question of any external action. It is your attitude, buddhi, related to that. So it is the work of an antakarna, inner equipment. So Krishna calls this by another name, karma yoga. He calls karma yoga by another name, calls it buddhi yoga. So because it is at the level of buddhi. So it is buddhi yoga. He calls in this sloka, he calls by another name called buddhi yoga. So he differentiation karma and karma yoga or buddhi yoga, he says. And he points out, even though physically both are same, karma and karma yoga are physically both of them are same. Karma yoga and karmi will be active externally. Both of them are doing action. Both will be active externally. No difference can be seen at all externally. Between a karmi and a karma yogi, no difference externally at all. But there is a lot of difference between them. Externally, no difference in the action. But there is a lot of difference between them, he points out. Krishna says, karma is far, far inferior to karma yoga. karma is far, far, in, just mere action is far, far inferior to karma yoga. That's what Krishna points out here. Karma durena khyavaram. Karma durena khyavaram is very much away, durena, very much away from buddhi yoga. In the first line, karma is durena khyavaram from what? From buddhi yoga. From buddhi yoga, that's buddhi yoga, the karma yoga. So karma is too far away from karma yoga. Now, how that can be a difference, such a large difference can be there when both of them are the same action. Action are both same. How there can be such a large difference between them? Krishna says, yes, there are differences. To what extent? One can say, karma yoga done properly can take a person to what? To moksha. When karma yoga is done properly, it can take a person to moksha, to up to liberation it can take. So, where is liberation, moksha, compared to any palam you can think of, any swarga, whatever you can get by karma, compared to moksha, they are nothing. That's what he says. So, karma can keep a person perpetually in samsara. What karma can do? It can keep a person perpetually in the cycle of life and death. By birth and death, he can keep on all the time. Whereas karma yoga can take a person all the way to moksha liberation. So karma yoga is moksha hetuhu and karma is bandha hetuhu. Bandha is attachment, bandha is binding. Not only that, the difference has been pointed out also in the 40th shloka we have already seen. Neha vikrama nashostim pratyavayaha na vidyate. We already saw that. Swarpamukhyasya karmasyam trayate mahato bayat. We already saw that earlier. Karma can have three types of defects. I mentioned at that time. Three types, just only recapitulate. It can have three kinds of defects. Karma yoga has no defects. Karma yoga has no defects. Whereas karma can have three types of defects. What are the three types of defects? Abhikramanashaha. We already saw that earlier. There can be failure in karma. In action, in just mere action, there can be failures. Not that all the time you will win the match. There can be failures. Whereas in karma yoga, there is no such thing like failure at all. Karma can have failure. Failure is a failure only when it causes what? Reaction, agitation in the mind. Failure is considered a failure only when it causes reaction, when it causes agitation in the mind. Not if it is converted to an opportunity for growth, for learning. When somebody fails in something, if you consider it as an opportunity for learning, then it is not a failure. It is a learning curve. Whereas if somebody gets agitated, gets depressed by that, then it is a failure. Karma takes out a failure, it's a problem of life. Adversity introduces what? A person, you know, he doesn't know what to do at that time. He is tensed up. He cannot convert that failure as a stepping stone for growth. He cannot learn from, normally people will say, let us learn from the mistakes. Learn from the mistakes, no problem. But if you get depressed by the mistakes, then again reaction, it's a failure, considered a failure. So in case of karma yoga, there is no such thing as failure. Everything is considered spiritually a success. Whatever is spiritually a success, even though it may be externally a failure. Externally, it may, the point of view of the world, it may look like a failure. But spiritually, it's a success for karma. That is number one, first defect for a karma. Second defect is pratyavayaha. Pratyavaya dosha is not there for karma yoga. No negative result at all. Every result is a positive result only. Whereas karma can have. Because this person already converted the negative result into his advantage. The karma yogi. No negative result. And third one, swarpamukhyasya dharmasya trayate. Karma requires complete performance to get the full result. Unless you go to all the elimination rounds of Wimbledon, as I gave the example, you cannot get the cup. If you want to get the cup, you have to go through all the elimination rounds. Whereas, in terms of karma yoga, that is not dependent on any such factors whatsoever. To the extent it is done, he might have gone only to two elimination rounds. To the extent it is done, it is going to lead to inner improvement. There is an inner improvement in the person, it will not affect the person at all. So, these are the three defects with respect to karma, and these three defects are not there with respect to karma yoga. Above all, karma yoga will take a person to moksha, which is never possible in karma. If you want to go to moksha, karma yoga can take the person, will give, actually Krishna is going to talk in the following slokas, how karma can turn a person to an agitated, worried, anxious, depressed person, taking, get on even bad habits. A karmi, when failure comes, He may even take to bad habits, whereas a karma yogi goes to swarga, goes to moksha. Karma yogi can go even up to moksha, whereas a karmi can go to any extent, to any length of life, wherever he is. So both a karmi and karma yogi are busy people. Both of them are busy. Both of them are busy. How busy are you? Always busy. Always busy. But what for? Doesn't know. For one, he may have worry, etc. For the other, it can take him out of it all the time, because he does it as a sense of duty, as a sense of enjoyment, regardless of the result that is coming out of it. So Krishna, Buddhav, Sharanam, Anvichaya. Krishna says to Arjuna, O Arjuna, Buddhav, Sharanam, Anvichaya. The only shelter, Sharanam, for you, which is Buddhi, your right attitude, right understanding of your action and the result. You should have the right, correct understanding of your action and the result. Use your buddhi. That is the right attitude you should have. So surrender to your viveka shakti or viveka buddhi, your discriminatory ability. What is correct, what is not correct. You surrender unto that. So that's why it's buddhav sharanam anvichaya. Surrender unto that. On the other hand, if you are going to be solely result-oriented, I'm always, ordinary people say goal-oriented. First quarter end should be like, second quarter end, goal-oriented. And each second, all the first quarter, second quarter earning only brought all this economy to whatever it is today. All this first quarter, second quarter stuff. Result oriented, what will happen? No, long time planning. Long term permanent planning is not there. So that what will happen? Phala hetavaha. Those who are totally result oriented people, kripanaha, they are miserable. All those who are only result oriented, then that becomes kripanaha, miserable, unfortunate people they are. Because the result is going to take them up and down. It's possible. It can take up sometimes. It can take them sometimes. So if I have handed over my life to the hands of the unpredictable result, if I hand over my life to the hands of the unpredictable result, about which I have no control, what will happen? I am not a free person in life at all, ever. I can never be a free person at all. The person seems he is elated sometime. He is depressed most of the time, perhaps. That's what he is doing, and very depressed. So kripanaha, unfortunate indeed. Why? The palahetavaha, the soul worry is based on the unpredictable result. Whatever is unpredictable. That's because they are always thinking about that, which is unpredictable. Buddhi yukto jahatiha.
Buddhi yukto jahatiha. Buddhi yukto jahatiha.
Ube sukrita duskrite.
Ube sukrita duskrite. Ube sukrita duskrite.
Buddhi yukto jahatiha. Ube sukrita duskrite.
Buddhi yukto jahatiha. Ube sukrita duskrite. Buddhi yukto jahatiha. Ube sukrita duskrite.
Tasmad yogaya yujyasva.
Tasmad yogaya yujyasva. Tasmad yogaya yujyasva.
Yoga karmasu kaushalam.
Yoga karmasu kaushalam. Yoga karmasu kaushalam.
Tasmad yogaya yujyasva. Yoga karmasu kaushalam.
Tasmad yogaya yujyasva. Yoga karmasu kaushalam. Tasmad yogaya yujyasva. Yoga karmasu kaushalam.
In this shloka, Krishna points out the phalam of karma yoga. What is the benefit of karma yoga? Buddhi yuktaha jahati. Buddhi yuktaha means the karma yogi. The one who is endowed with the right attitude, buddhi, jahati, he gives up. Buddhi yuktaha jahati. Karma yogi gives up. What he gives up? Ube sukrita duskrite. Ube means both sukritam and duskritam. Ube sukrita duskrite. Both sukritam. Sukritam is punyam. And duskritam is papam. So he gives up both punyam and papam. The karma yogi gives up both punyam and papam. And this can be again interpreted in two ways. Because this person has taken the sankalpam that he is not interested in punyam, but only in purity of mind, chitta shuddhi. That's what he has taken. Because he is doing the karma yogi. He happens to be a nishkama karmi. The karma becomes a nishkama karma. That is a karma without expecting any benefit. So that buddhi yuktaha means one has taken to nishkama karma, not a sakama karma, expecting any benefit. This is without expecting any benefit. He has not asked for punyam at all. So neither punyam comes to him, also because he has not asked for it. So only for a sakama karmi, there is punyam and papam. For Nishkama Karma, there is no Punyam and Papam. For Nishkama, both of them are not there. Chitta Shuddhi cannot be there. That is number one. And the second thing is, even if Punyam and Papam are good or bad, they are going to come to him. As far as he is concerned, number one, they are not coming. As far as he is concerned, they are neither good or bad. They are good or bad to the relative world, but not for him. For the relative world, who are looking for all that, for them it is. For this person, he is a karma yogi. There is nothing like good or bad. A result is a result. That is, he doesn't qualify that result as a good result or bad result. A result is a result. That is, the good results are not going to either elate him, or the bad results are not going to depress him. Because there is no good or bad result for this karma yogi. As far as he is concerned, sukritam and duskritam, punyam and papam, are neutralized. Neutralized, they are diffused. They are like what? The cobra without the poison fang removed. So that alone binds. So punyam and papam are unwelcome only when they create worry in me. When I don't want papam, only when it creates worry in me. When they don't create any worry in me, why should I care about them? Nothing. I don't have to care about them at all. But a karma yoga, he has taken care of the worry problem. Already he has no worries. Karma yogi has no worries whatsoever. So he doesn't care, worry about it. So punya and papam can do everything to what? To the body. Punyam and papam can do everything only to the body. Punyam can bring wonderful situations. It can bring nice, comfortable living. It can bring all those beautiful situations. And papam can create lot of problems. All concerning what? The body. They all can concern only with respect to body. They can create situations only, but they themselves cannot create worry. Punyam and papam, they can create situations in life, but they cannot themselves create worry. It is created by whom? By my mind. Situations will arise. They will come. Whether they are worrisome or not, who determines? I determine. My mind determines. So karma can never determine our worry. No action will determine our worry. Prarabdha can determine whether we can be rich or poor. I did lot of good karmas. Punya karmas are there. I might have been born a rich person, a comfortable life. All those things I might have got. All those things are driven by prarabdha. By prarabdha karma they are driven. But with people, without people, with wealth, without wealth, healthy, sick. All those things are driven by prarabdha. No problem at all. But whether we should worry about them or not, prarabdha doesn't dictate. That is dictated by us. So whatever life we got, somebody is born sick, somebody is born very wealthy, somebody is born poor. Whether to worry about them, excited about them, that is not determined by prarabdha. That is determined by our mind. How are we taking them? So who should determine that? Only I should determine that. I should take control of my situation. I should take control of my reaction to a situation. So for a karma yogi, sukritam and duskritam are only namesake. They don't cause any change in him. They are only namesake, but as far as his mind is concerned, they both are the same only. So he is samoguttva. He is the person equanimous. Samatvam yoga uchyate. He is equanimous, equally poised. That person is harmonious. That person is tranquil. That is the karma yogi. So normally they give a beautiful example. Udaye savita raktaha raktatascha astamaye tata. When the sun rises early morning, very red sun. Udaye savita raktaha. Like a blood red sun in the morning. When it is astamanam, evening when it sets, raktatascha astamaye tata. At that time also it is red. It doesn't change. When it rises, it's red. When it is setting, it's red. This person is like that. Elation or depression doesn't cause any change in this person. He is a karma yogi. So for a karma yogi, sukritam and duskritam are same. Therefore, jahati. Jahati means give up. This is the second interpretation. So first one is what? Both punyam and papam are not going to come for a karma yogi. He has only asked for chitta shuddhi. He didn't ask for. Sankalpam is not for punyam or papam. Sankalpam is for only chitta shuddhi. Purity of mind. So that's what, that's the first interpretation. And the second one is what? Even if the punyam and papam, they come to him, it is not a problem to him at all, because it is like as if you are scolding a deaf person. Person is deaf. You scolding him, so what? He will be seeing why this guy's face is turning this and this. He's going to be wondering only. He is not going to be affected by your scolding. Same way, punya papa is not going to hurt this person at all. Tasmat, therefore, yoga yam yujyasva. So may you be prepared to karma yoga. Yoga yujasva. Yoga means karma yoga. Be aware of this. Karmani eva adhikaraha te. Be aware of that. You have got the adhikaritvam. You have the right only for action, not for the phalam. I have the right for the action. Then onwards, keep your mind open and be ready to accept any result, because you have no control on that. Once the action is done, result is done by the laws of karma, the laws of universe, because it has interaction with the universe. So, satasmadhi, yogaya, yujyasvat. Therefore, be ready to practice this yoga. This yoga is karma yoga or buddhi yoga. He called it buddhi yoga now. So Krishna gives a second definition here for yoga. Already he gave it in the 48th verse. Samatvam yoga uchyate. He already taught. What is samatvam? Yoga is samatvam. Yoga is equanimity of action. That's what he gave earlier. And here he is giving another definition. Yogaha karmasu kaushalam. That is the new definition he gives. Earlier he gave samatvam yoga. Now he says yogaha karmasu kaushalam. Yoga is skill in action. Karmasu. In action, yoga is kaushalam. Kaushalam is skill, efficiency. Efficiency in action. And here also we have to understand what efficiency means. Efficiency means normally throughput. All that thing is what normally we interpret, right? Here efficiency we should understood. Here, it is not doing the action itself very well. Normally we interpret, if the action is done very well, throughput is good, very efficient. That's what normally we understand. Here it is not doing the action itself very well. There are so many very, very efficient people who are all the time irritated. We know. They are very efficient people. Very great people. All the time irritated. This guy is angry for anything. You go and ask him, how are you? Immediately he will frown upon you. That's how he is. There are a lot, but they are very efficient. They can do a lot of great work. Nice people, very efficient, scholarly. But here it is the capacity to do the action without disturbance. That is called efficiency or skill here. The efficiency here means to do any action without disturbance, without agitation, with a calm mind, without any perturbation whatsoever. That is samatva. That is called efficiency here. So the capacity to do the action with poise and the capacity to receive the result without protest. That is called efficiency here. To do the action with poise, integrated mind, and to receive the result without protest, without irritation. Whatever comes, take it. And above all, the ability to learn from the experience. That is skill. The ability to learn from whatever experience you get, whether it is a sweet experience or better experience, doesn't matter. To be able to learn from them. So learning, growing, maturing, they are all possible only if an action is done with this particular samatva attitude. Otherwise, it is not at all possible. So, kaushalam. That's what Krishna says. Kaushalam means the capacity to be calm and to grow through karma is a skill of action. That is called efficiency here. That is called the skill, not the doing the action itself efficiently. Okay. So, Adi Shankaracharya, he defines the skill very, very beautifully. He says, Bandha swabhavane api karmani swabhavate nivrityante iti kaushalam. That's what he says. Normally, karma is only capable of binding a person. Action binds a person. Gets punya papam, binds a person. A poison. It's a danger. Because binding, bondage. It's a danger. The moment you take up karma, it is a problem only. Because you take up karma, going to be result, and it can be a good result, bad result. You are associated with the result, punyam or papam, all are binding. Any action done is going to bind you. Because you are claiming punya papa or any result to that. Then the result is what? The result is unpredictable. The result of the action is unpredictable. To do the action, you have to put a lot of effort. How to do it? You have to plan, really do it. So many things you have to pull. Very, very difficult to do actions, many actions. And having done an action with so much of difficulty, the result is unpredictable. You do not know what the result is. Also, from the Shastra angle also, karma will produce punyam and papam. Any karma will produce punyam and papam, which is responsible for what? For the next janma, next birth. So punya papa are responsible for next birth. If I don't have punyam and papam, there is no need for another birth. When you have punyam and papam, you need to have another birth. So they are responsible for another birth. So karma, phalam, janma. Karma, phalam, janma. This is a cycle. Go on having more and more births all the time. So karma is only useful to perpetuate samsara. Karma is useful to only perpetuate samsara, keep on samsara going again and again. That is why they say, karmana badyate janduhu. All these living beings, all the beings, they are all by their own action, they are all bonded. Most of the time, when we have problems, it is initiated by us only. Most problems are initiated by us only in any field. Because we do the action, whatever thing comes out of that, we react, further perpetuate more problems. That's what we do. In the case of karma yoga, this person is killed because the same karma which is normally binding, this person is making use of that binding karma for his spiritual progress. That's what a karma yogi does. Normally karma is binding, but this karma yogi converts that karma from its nature of binding to his spiritual progress as a stepping stone. That's what he does. Normally, building castles, what? With the stones thrown at one person. The guy, he builds a castle with what? People throw stones at him. He collects those stones and builds a castle. That's what this guy does. So even under dire circumstances, very adverse circumstances, this person turns it to his advantage. That's what the karma yogi does. Okay? That's what he says. Sometimes the very failure can be a stepping stone for growth. Sometimes the poison of a snake is used for medicine in some applications. It is poison, but still can be used for a good application elsewhere. So Shankara says, Bandha Swabhavani Karmani. Karmas which are normally of the nature of binding. Bandha Swabhavani. Of the nature of binding. Swabhavat Nivrityante Iti Kaushalam. He converts from its nature. Karma is of the nature of binding. But this person converts it from its nature and makes it for what? Moksha Hetuhu. He converts them even to get moksha. That is this person, this karma yogi who does that. Karma jam bhukti buddhi yuktahi.
Karma jam buddhi yuktahi. Karma jam buddhi yuktahi.
Palantyaktva manishinaha.
Palantyaktva manishinaha. Palantyaktva manishinaha.
Karma jam buddhi yuktahi. Palantyaktva manishinaha.
Karma jam buddhi yuktahi. Palantyaktva manishinaha. Karmajam buddhi yuktani paramtyaktva manishinaha.
Janma bandhavi nirmuktaha.
Janma bandhavi nirmuktaha. Janma bandhavi nirmuktaha.
Padangachantya namayam.
Padangachantya namayam. Padangachantya namayam.
Janma bandhavi nirmuktaha. Padangachantya namayam.
Janma bandhavi nirmuktaha. Padangachantya namayam. Janma bandhavi nirmuktaha. Padangachantya namayam.
So we said a karma yogi converts the karma, the action itself, as a means of liberation. That's what we said just now. A karma yogi converts the action itself, the karma, as a means of liberation. Then what will be the question? Can karma yoga give liberation directly? Because he converts the karma into karma yoga as a means of liberation, then can karma yoga give liberation directly or not? And Krishna clarifies it here. Karma yoga does not directly lead to liberation. Karma yoga does not directly liberate to liberation right from Tathupada. We have actually Tathupada itself, we outlined this earlier. We have been consistently saying that liberation is from what? Is through jnanam only. Through only self-knowledge alone a person can get moksha. Not through karma yoga. Only through jnana yoga and jnanam a person can get liberation. Atma jnanam alone. Why? What is the logic? Bondage is due to what? Bondage is due to ignorance. Ignorance of our nature, of ourselves. That is bondage. So if ignorance has to go, what should come? Wisdom has to come. Knowledge alone has to come. So bondage cannot, ignorance cannot be removed by anything else except gaining knowledge. So jnana yoga alone, jnana alone can give liberation. Okay. And jnana is not one of the methods of liberation, but jnana is the only method of liberation. We have to understand, oh, bhakti, karma, that yoga, this ashtanga yoga, so many things are there. Can they all give liberation? No. Jnana Yoga is the only method through which one can go to liberation. Jnana alone is the only hetu for liberation. Then why do we do Karma Yoga at all? It's not going to give me liberation. Why should I do Karma Yoga at all? Then how do we say Karma Yoga leads to liberation? Because that's what Krishna contends here. How do we say Karma Yoga leads to liberation? We say Karma Yoga indirectly leads to liberation, not directly leads to liberation. Karma Yoga indirectly leads to liberation what? Karma Yoga gives you Chitta Shuddhi and Chitta Naishchalyam. Then you go to Jnana Yoga. There you do Shravanam, Mananam, Nididhyasanam. And then you go to Moksha at that time, liberation at that time. That is why Karma Yoga prepares the person for Jnana Yoga. So it gives liberation indirectly because it prepares the person for Jnana Yoga. Then he becomes an adhikari to receive Jnana. It makes sense to him. It does not give knowledge for liberation directly. It is like going to, for example, you want to go to India. You take, for example, a limo from your home to the airport. So what takes you to India? Not this limo. What takes the aircraft only takes to India. So Jnana Yoga only takes to final Jnana. This is all this limo or any other somebody dropping you, they don't take you to India. Even though they are all on the way. It does that. So all these are all secondary means. Secondary means, while the primary means is only the aircraft. So also Karma Yoga, Bhakti Yoga, all these Ashtanga Yoga, Supasana, so many, whatever methods, they are all there. They are all secondary means only. They are not the primary means to go to Moksha. They are all to be prepared, for the mind to get prepared for Jnana Yoga. As I told you earlier, Chitta Shuddhi is important, Chitta Ekagrata is important, then only Jnana can come. So Buddhi Yukta means the Karma Yogis. Those who practice this yoga, what do they do? Karma Jam Palam Tektva. Karma Jam Palam Tektva. They will give up Tektva. They will give up the Palam of all their actions. Karma Jam. Jam means born out of. Born out of Karma Jam. Jam born out of Karma actions. So Karma Vyaha Jatam Karma Jam. Karma Vyaha Jatam Karma Jam. What is that? What is born out of karma is palam. Whatever is born out of an action is the result of the action. So karmajam means the palam. So karmajam and palam, they should go together. So karmajam palam tektva. We have to understand that when you split the words, this is how you should understand. Karmajam palam tektva. Okay. And what is karmajam palam? The result of karma, it is said actually in the previous sloka. Ube sukrita dushkrite. We already saw it in the previous sloka. The punyam and papam. So what is the karmajam palam? Punyam and papam. That's what we saw in the previous sloka. So the karma yogi, he drops both of them. Both of them by what? By his nishkama attitude. Karma yogi performs action with the nishkama attitude. So he is dropping both punyam and papam. So punyam and papam. So when he does not want punyam, papam also will not go to him. He doesn't want. Normally people don't want papam. To renounce papam, no problem. Everybody is prepared. But to renounce punyam, so when he renounces punyam, papam also does not affect him. So nishkama karmana, by his nishkama karma, he gives up the karma palam. This karma yogi gives up his karma palam by his nishkama karma, and in its place, what he gets? Chitta shuddhi he gets. Purity of mind he gets. And will it directly lead to liberation? Okay, he got chitta shuddhi. Will it take him to liberation directly? No. Afterwards, Manishinaha. Manishinaha, we should supply the word Bhutva. Manishinaha Bhutva. After they become wise people. Manishinaha refers to Jnaninaha. The word Manishinaha refers to Jnaninaha. After they become Jnanis. Jnani Bhutva. Manisha means Atma Jnana. Manisha refers to Atma Jnanam. Manishi means Atma Jnani. Manisha means Atma Jnana. Manishi is Atma Jnani. So they give up the Punya Papam. Punya Papa they give up. They attain Chitta Shuddhi, purity of mind. Or in the language of Tattva Bodha, they attain Sadhana Chaturthaya Sampanna Adhikari Bhutva. They have become eligible people, the Adhikari, endowed with all the fourfold qualifications that we saw earlier in Tattva Bodha. These people are endowed with that. And how do they get the Atma Jnanam? They become wise by only one method. What is that method? Evam Vedanta Vakyehi Sadguru Upadeshenacha. That is the only method. What they should do? Atma Jnanam comes through only these two aids. There are only Atma Jnanam only is the only method. and comes through two aids. What are the two aids? One is Shastram. Vedanta Vakyehi refers to Shastram, the scriptures. And the Shastram also, not he directly approaches Shastram himself. Guru Padeshena Cha. Through a guru only he learns. If you approach the Shastram directly, it will kick you. So we have to go through, as I told earlier, Upanishads are like, they gave the analogy of Upanishad, Sarvopanishado Gavaham, Dokta Gopalanandanaha. We said they call Krishna as Gopala at that time. Why they call him Gopala? They could have called him Krishna, has so many names. They call him Gopala. Why? Gopala only knows the trait of the cow. If you and I go to milk a cow, what will get? You will get not milk but kicks. But Gopala can get the milk the cow because he knows the trait of the cow. He knows how to approach the cow. Upanishads are like that. If you approach the Upanishad directly yourself, you will be all confusion only will be there. So that's why you have to go through a guru. And then you have to get it from him. So both Guru Upadesham and Shastram. Shastram and Guru Upadesham, through that he is getting Jnana. The Jnana Marga, he goes through that. So they become wise with what? Guru Shastra Upadeshena Manishinaha Bhutva. So Karma Yogena Chitta Suddhim Prapya and Guru Upadeshena Manishinaha Bhutva. That's what. So from Karma Yoga they get Chitta Suddhim. Then from Guru Upadesham they became Manishinaha. Then Janma Bandha Vinirmuktaha. They become totally free from the bondage of Janma. Janma means what? Janma, Mrityu, birth, death, Jara, old age, Vyadi, disease. They become free from all these. All these things that all are indicated by the word Janma. When they say Janma Bandha Vinirmuktaha, Janma indicates all these various afflictions. And having become free from all these, what happens to them? Padam Gacchanti. They attain moksha. Padam gacchanti. Brahmatvam gacchanti. There is brahmatvam. Literally, padam means abode. Padam literally means abode. Here it is moksha. And what type of moksha? Anamayam. Anamayam. Free from all evils. This is a moksha which is free from all evils. Actually, this is to compare moksha with all other pleasures. All other swarga loka, vaikuntha loka, all those things. Compare moksha with all of them. That's what he is listening. So in Swargaloka, they say there is a lot of pleasure. Pleasure abound, no problem at all. But it is not totally free from evils. There is a lot of pleasure. Not totally free from evil. Because what? There is a king. In Swarga, for Devas there is a king. Indra is the king. Now Indra's house, very big house, he has got Airavatam, he has got Indrani, so many other people, every Sanskrit people attending on him. So another Devata goes to his house, there is already a gradation. He looks at this Indra's house, look at this guy. There is defect. So even though there is a lot of pleasure available, it is not free from defects. Even Swargaloka is not free from defects. There is still jealousy, there is still hatred, there is still problems of these things. You know, you have all the stories in mythology of this, how this devata dealt with that devata, all these things are all there in Devaloka also. They are not free from defects. But moksha is not having any defect whatsoever. That is the difference between moksha and this thing. That's why he uses the word Amayam Padam, so Swargadi Brahmaloka Pariyantam, they are all having defects. Swargadi Brahmaloka Pariyantam. So Swargas up to Brahmaloka, everywhere there is some defect or the other, they all have their own defects. They belong to the relative world. Because the moment you come to the relative world, there will be always defects. You always compare. When you compare, there is always defect. One is always higher, another is lower. This comparison is that. That's nature of comparison, relative world. So there is always, so a special adjective is given in this shloka by Krishna, anamayam, anamayam. That is, so it's not like any other gain in the world, it is the absolute gain, nothing to be compared with, it's an absolute gain. Actually, he does not gain anything at all, this karma yoga, he doesn't gain anything at all, through knowledge, this jnana yoga, through knowledge, jnana, he gains moksha. Now, it's like, now you gain moksha means what? How far is moksha? He gains moksha means he is not getting jnanam now and he is going to gain moksha after some time. It is maybe he has to travel another some maybe 10 kilometers or maybe 10 miles. No. The moment jnanam comes, moksha is instantaneous. Moksha is, it is like the dreamer when he wakes up. What is the difference between dreamer and waker? He wakes up, that's all. The dreamer, the same dreamer, he just wakes up. The moment you gain this knowledge, you own up this knowledge. That is why they use the word owning up this knowledge. It is not gaining the knowledge, attaining the knowledge, you have to go somewhere to get it. It is owning up the knowledge that is already with you. You have to own ownership. You should. So dreamer gains the waker stage by just only waking up. Same way here, a karma yogi gains his true nature by knowing his true nature through what? Through jnana. So gacchanti, here in this padam gacchanti. Gacchanti means he goes, he gains, but no, that he's not going anywhere. Wherever he is, he just owns up that particular knowledge. And then he becomes liberated. He is ever liberated.
Yadate moha kalidam.
Yadate moha kalidam. Yadate moha kalidam.
Buddhirvyati tarishyati.
Buddhirvyati tarishyati. Buddhirvyati tarishyati.
Yadate moha kalidam. Buddhirvyati tarishyati.
Yadate moha kalidam. Buddhirvyati tarishyati.
तदा गन्तासि निर्वेदम्
तदा गन्तासि निर्वेदम् तदा गन्तासि निर्वेदम्
श्रोतव्यस्य श्रुतस्य च
श्रोतव्यस्य श्रुतस्य च श्रोतव्यस्य श्रुतस्य च
तदा गन्तासि निर्वेदम् श्रोतव्यस्य श्रुतस्य च
तदा गन्तासि निर्वेदम् श्रोतव्यस्य श्रुतस्य च तदा गन्तासि निर्वेदम् श्रोतव्यस्य श्रुतस्य च
सो इन् द प्रीवियस् श्लोका 51 कृष्णा पॉइंटेड आउट दैट ए कर्मयोगी gives up the results of action. Punya papa, he gives up and then becomes a jnani. Manishinaha bhutva. We saw it in the previous shloka. And as a jnani, he will become liberated. So there are two stages that are indicated. One is purity of mind and then the knowledge. So first he has to gain purity of mind, chitta shuddhi, chitta shaneshari, both. And then he has to gain knowledge. Two steps. So these two stages of sadhana are mentioned clearly in the 52 and the 53rd shlokas. This shloka and the next shloka, Krishna mentions these two stages. So what is the stage one? Stage one is karma yoga. You have to first become a karma yogi. And what will be the result? Already mentioned earlier. But by karma yoga, what do you get? Buddhihi vyati tarishyati. That's what Krishna says. By karma yoga, buddhihi vyati tarishyati. Buddhihi, the intellect, crosses over, the intellect gets over what? Moha kalila. In karma yoga, the buddhi gets over moha kalilam. Kalila means impurity. The buddhi, intellect, gets over the impurity which is known as moha. Moha is delusion. That is the impurity. So, as we talked earlier, the delusion is not, what is the delusion? It is nothing but expecting to get happiness through the limited things of the world. That is moha. Delusion is what? I want to get pleasure, unlimited pleasure, through the things in the world. That's what I'm thinking. Expecting to get the happiness through the limited things in the world. All worldly pursuits. I do this, that, all those things I do, they are all based. For example, for a child, pleasure is what? A balloon. The balloon given to the child, child is very happy. For the child, the limit of happiness is balloon. And you go to a youth, maybe video games, iPod, I know whatever part, all those things. They are all for a youth. And then you get a house, you get family, you get children, get a good job. And you go older, okay, you are having the pressure of grandchildren. You want to be with the grandchildren, all these things. These are all the pressure. All are, you think that they are all sources of pleasure. That's what we think, all the times we think. So right from the beginning, the idea is what? The world can give me happiness. Right from the beginning, that is how I am growing up. Right as the child is growing up, from me, the child becomes possessive. It will say, it is my balloon, don't take it away. Possessive. So you think that the limited things of the world, they are, because why he doesn't want to give it away? Because it's a source of happiness to that. The moment it is gone, it gets dukkham. It may not be able to analyze it, but that's what it knows. So it doesn't want to give it up because it's a source of happiness to that. So the world, we think, the world is a source of happiness for us right from birth. That's what we have been always used to. But world cannot be cause for happiness at all. Why? Because happiness is nothing but what? Fullness. Happiness is fullness. Something is purnaha, but happy. You always think, I am lacking something, so you want to acquire something to fill that gap, then you think you are happy. Because we think we lack something to be happy. So we want to acquire something to make us happy. So Purnatvam experience, if you want, Purnatvam experience is what? Not lacking anything. The experience, the sensation that I do not lack anything, that alone is Purnatvam. So Anantatvam eva anandaha. Anantatvam eva. So it should be like that. You know, normally in Tamil, the sorrow is called Kurai. Kurai means which is unfulfilled. And the happiness is called Nirai. Kurai and Nirai. Kurai means that it's lacking. So something is lacking. So Apurnatvam is Dukkham. Purnatvam is happiness. Okay. So everything in the world is Apurna. Everything in the world is incomplete. They are limited. They are all anithyam. They are called anithya vastu. Everything is incomplete. They are all anithyam, limited. So it is impossible to get Purnatvam through an apurna vastu. You cannot get fulfillment through anything that by itself is limited. It's not possible, right? So it's a fundamental rule. If you want to gain Purnatvam, you cannot gain Purnatvam through any limited vastu. Not at all. So limitedlessness, Purnatvam is limitedlessness, is not possible through limited things. Limitedlessness is a first rule. Cannot be possible. So this misconception that I can get fulfillment through limited vastu, this misconception, and hence the misdirected seeking, is called moha. We are trying to explain what moha is. Moha is this misconception and this misdirected effort to seek that happiness, that fulfillment through all these things is called moha. And why this expectation? Why do I think that I can get this Purnatvam like this? Because nobody has used their viveka shakti. People have not used their discriminatory ability at all. Even though they have it. They have got it, but they have not used it. If they think a little deeper, they will know. But they don't do that at all. It is not used to question the wrong fundamental assumption. The viveka shakti is not used to question the fundamental assumption. Can you get fulfillment by using limited things? They do not ask that question. We use it for all worldly things. But in karma yoga, what happens is, a person is not going to react when the karma palam comes. He is not going to react. Okay? That is the karma yogi now. So when there is no reaction, what happens? Buddhi is sharp. When reaction is there, buddhi is blunted. Because you are emotional now. When reaction is not there, then buddhi is bright, buddhi is sharp, intellect is sharp. When it is bright and sharp, then the person thinks over. Till that time he doesn't. When it is bright, he thinks over and then he introspects, he analyzes, and then I am now 70. I expected joy all these years through all these things. Have I got? Looks back. No. I have not got joy at all. That's what he thinks at that time. He will certainly find out at that time. Previously, he was sufficient with, let us say, $100 or $1,000. He was lacking that much at that time. Now he is lacking $100,000. Lacking is same. Only the magnitude changed. Person is like that. So he acquires more reaction, more problems, anger, irritation, depression, everything, they all come. So so is the case with whatever one acquires. Then the person realizes that there is something wrong with the approach itself. To find Purnatvam, what is the approach he adopted? He finds something wrong with that approach itself. And when the person thinks, he makes the discovery that the Jagat, the universe, is anityam. It is impermanent. It cannot give ananda. Because it is impermanent. It cannot give Purnatvam. It cannot give the fulfillment. Therefore, there is no use in going after apurna vastu, a limited vastu, to get Purnatvam. He understands that very clearly. And here we should be very careful. When we say these things, you know, I always run this risk. We should be very careful. We should not, when we say we should not go after apurnatvam, when you have hunger, you have to go after food. That is required. When you need shelter, you have to go after shelter. You should not say, oh, it's not going to give me fulfillment. Why go after food? They are basic necessities. You should go after them. You should have them. So you should not say, oh, let me keep quiet. Doesn't work. You have to go after them because you have to take care of your health. The medicines are needed. All these things are needed in life because you have a body to take care. It is your duty to take care of your body because it is given to you. You should do that. So that is, we can go after apurna vastu for worldly purposes. Quenching the hunger is a worldly purpose. Body has to survive in this world. So you can go for apurna vastu, for worldly purpose. For purnatvam or happiness, that is wrong. That's what we should understand. For ultimate happiness or purnatvam, that is wrong. But to meet worldly requirements, you can go after them. No, nothing wrong in that. So once the karma yogi knows that anitya vastu cannot be purnatvam, then what will be his attitude? His attitude will be one of vairagyam or dispassion. Right? Because he knows it is not going to give him fulfillment, so he will be dispassionate towards them. No passionate attachment at all, dispassionate. And his interest is developed towards nitya vastu, what is permanent. His interest will be developed towards them, turning away from this anitya vastu. So he will have dispassion towards this ampurnatvam, apurna vastu, and turn away to nitya vastu for happiness. And this is called getting over delusion. So first we defined what is delusion, and now we are telling what is meant by getting over delusion and giving the right direction to our life. Okay. This alone is called, in Tattva Bodha we already call it, Nityam Anityam Vastu Vivekaha. And second one is, Iha Mutrartha Phala Bhoga Viragaha. Viragam, Viraga is called dispassion. And Viveka is the discriminating ability. So Karma Yoga gets these two qualifications for a person. Vivekam and Vairagyam, that is discriminating ability and also dispassionate attitude. It gives both the qualification to them by Karma Yoga. The world will give what? World can give you food. World can give you clothing. World can give you shelter. All that it can give. But what it cannot give? It cannot give you peace. It cannot give you joy. Cannot give you those things. It cannot give you satisfaction. You are ever unsatisfied. You may think that you got satisfaction by doing this. Having gone that, then you will know. You have something else to acquire again. So when the question of peace and joy comes, the person will turn away from this and go towards the permanent vastu, nitya vastu, that is called vairagya. That is called vairagya. Turning away from worldly desires, worldly things is vairagyam, and turning towards nitya vastu is called what? We already gave another name earlier. Turning towards nitya vastu, the purnatvam, that is called mumukshutvam, the craving desire to get the infinite. Moksha, mumukshutvam. So he has got all the three now. He has got viveka, vairagyam, and mumukshutvam. He has to only get samadhi shakti sampatti. That is the fourth qualification that we have to get. Then where will we go for that? Okay, this through Karma Yoga he got all of them. So where will we go for getting those also? Because then only he becomes eligible for Jnana Yoga. Where will he go? Towards Vipassana meditation. That is where he has to go. Okay. So when delusion is gone, that is when he becomes pure, he becomes a sadhana chatushtiya sampanna adhikari. And such a person, vetitarishyati, he crosses over. So when he crosses over this particular thing. And what will happen to him? Tada gantasi. Then you will attain nirvedam. Nirvedam means vairagya. Dispassion, detachment. That's what you will get. It does not mean hatred. You have to understand that. Dispassion should not be interpreted as hatred. He doesn't hate anything. He is not attached to them. He doesn't hate anything. There is no virakti. It's not disgust. No. It is not a negative emotion. It is a constructive attitude. Vairagyam is a constructive attitude, whereas hatred is destructive attitude. He doesn't hate anything. He is only dispassionate towards them. So vairagyam towards what? Shrotavyasya shrutasya cha. That's what Krishna says. Shrotavyasya. Can I take a few more minutes to complete this shloka? It is at 5:30. You can do it in another 5 minutes perhaps. So shrotavyasya shrutasya cha. He says, he has vairagyam towards the entire world that is already experienced by him. The entire world that he is experiencing. He now develops dispassion towards all of them. Like, for example, the Bhuloka and all we experience. So he develops dispassion towards them. But what he has not experienced? Swargaloka he has not experienced. He has experienced Bhuloka. So he is dispassion. So Shrotavyam is what he has experienced. Shrutam, what is not experienced, is Swargaloka. So not only he is dispassionate towards the loka, these experiences that he is going through now, whatever is not experienced also, he is dispassionate towards them. He doesn't care. You cannot promise him, I will give you this. He has not experienced. You cannot give him, I will give you this. It's not going to interest him anymore. He is not going to be affected at all. So he says, what is heard and what is not heard? You can what is seen, what is not seen, what is smelled, what is not smelled, what is experienced, not experienced, he is not going to be bothered by any of them. That person is not. So whatever experienced through the five sense organs, whatever the experiences, whatever is not, towards all of them, he is dispassionate. Because generally we may have vairagyam towards things which we already have. I have something, so I have used it enough, doesn't matter. So I can have dispassion towards them. Normally that is the experience of people. But not towards what we have not experienced. We want to experience new things. I cannot say I want to be dispassionate towards those things also. It's not possible. But the karma yogi will develop a vairagyam for both of them also. What is experienced and what is to be experienced. And how can he develop vairagyam for both of them? The unexperienced thing, how can you develop vairagyam towards that? Now that's the question, because we have not experienced it. How we can develop vairagyam towards that? That requires maturity. Because through whatever I have experienced, through my limited senses, this person is intelligent enough to extend it towards the unexperienced things also, through his buddhi. It is like in America, you can see any one city, any one mall. You don't have to go and see another mall in California. That mall is same like any other mall here. What is any different there? They also have the same number of shops, same kind of clothing. You don't have to. You have not experienced California mall. You have experienced only Menlo Park mall here. It's enough. One mall is just enough. You can just extend. That is not going to be any different. You can have a different building. Even the layouts are same in all these malls perhaps. If you go to even Toys R Us to every store, you know, aisle number 20 is still whatever is the same thing is there in the other store. Most of the stores perhaps. Nothing different. So you just extend. It's not going to be any different at all. So Shrotavyasyam, Shrutasyacha. That is Vairagya. And there is a second meaning Shankaracharya gives. Shrotavyam, Shrutam. He says, they refer to what is said in the Shruti. Shruti is Vedas, the scriptures. So whatever is said in the Shrutis, which has already been, he has already read. This person is a jnani, he already has read it. So whatever is the pleasure that is given in the Shruti, in the scriptures, which he has already learned or which he has already read, and whatever pleasures promised in the Vedas, Veda Purva Bhaga promises lot of pleasures. I told you, the Karmakanda portion gives you, I will give you swargam you want, I will give you this, I will give you that. It gives you so for everything you perform, this puja, that puja, this yaga. It gives promises so many things. Karmakanda portion promises enormous things in life. It gives you so many things. So all those things he has heard. And whatever has to be heard also, whatever he has already heard from his learning, and whatever is not heard also. So if he heard up to Swargaloka by the scriptures, he can extrapolate and say Brahmaloka also will be like this only. He knows because he has got the buddhi. So a person will develop vairagyam towards anitya prapancha. This anitya prapancham, this entire universe which is anityam, which is ephemeral, which is impermanent. So this person develops the vairagyam, dispassion towards all of them, even if it is up to Brahmaloka. Does not matter that this loka, that, even up to Brahmaloka. So this is the first stage, this is the adhikarityam, a mature, dispassionate person, but an ignorant person still he is. He is dispassionate, he is mature. He can extrapolate, okay, the same experience is going to be there, but still he is an ajnani. He has not got jnanam yet. You understand? He has got adhikaritva, but he has not gained jnanam yet. He has not still become a jnani. Then what does he know? He knows whatever he experiences is impermanent. He knows that much. Whatever he is experiencing is impermanent, but he does not know what is that permanent experience. What is that permanent vastu? What is that nitya vastu? He still does not know. He still is an ajnani of the nitya vastu alone. He knows worldly knowledge completely. He has got all the knowledge of everything, no problem. But still he doesn't know what is the permanent thing he has to go after. He doesn't know that. So he has to go to the second stage to attain the nitya vastu. So first stage, it has given him, made him the adhikari. Now second stage he has to go to get moksha. That he is going to talk about it in the next shloka, which we will see next class.